Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. What another shit show. Sorry, I meant welcome to another show. Well, 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 here we are together and alone all at the same time. Welcome to everyone who is in chat and who's decided to join me. I know it's a little bit late for some of our regular markets. At least it's not the Liverpool Tottenham kickoff time. At least it's not that late. Welcome and thanks for joining me. I'm not sure. Now, this is the kind of show where I need your help. And this is all about you and your comments and your questions. Here's the good news. We didn't lose. And we could have lost that game quite easily. It was not a very good first half at all. It was a little better than we have played, but in terms of possession and what Southampton were able to do with the ball, we couldn't get the ball the first half. It felt like we were heading down that road. And how typical. Hands up, everyone in chat who knew that Theo Walcott was going to score against us. We mentioned it on the show yesterday with Amanda and Super Kev as well, that we all knew that Theo would score. Here's the good news. And sometimes I don't like doing these shows immediately after a game. And I wasn't going to do one today, to be honest with you. But when we went 1-0 down and Theo scored, my blood started to boil and I started to get just frustrated and angry. And then I thought, man, how can we not come on air after a game and after a game like that, and especially an important game like that? Because there were so many things that I wanted to talk about in that first half. I think we had 5 shots on target. As I said, very little possession. After Saka hurt his knee, it felt like he really wasn't kind of in the game. There was a little bit more energy in the midfield with Ceballos. As much as he's kind of annoyed me lately, I think that of all the players, he showed a lot of ingenuity and energy, and he brings that energy to the team. And then Theo scores and we go 1-0 down. But here's the good news, guys, and tell me if you agree. And in a minute, we're going to do our player ratings together, okay? We're going to do those together. It's going to be a nice short one today because we're going to be back tomorrow with a segment with Kevin, the Kevin Says segment. And we've got Josh from Abercamp Wonderland joining us as well. So here's the thing. We didn't put our heads down. And so we've kind of reverted in some of our previous games that we've lost and on this run that we saw under Emery, right? And we saw during the latter years of Arsene Wenger as well, where our heads go, our minds go, and we literally lose ourselves. But I actually want to give the team some credit because I thought that we looked like we could equalize towards the end. Pepe had a really good chance with his left foot, hit it straight at the goalkeeper. I think that we showed good movement and a little bit more speed. And I dare I say, you guys, but did we look better? There's no good news, Michael Thomas. By the way, that's not Michael Thomas. It's up for grabs now, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's not. But I know there is no good news. We drew at home against Southampton, but here's the thing, Michael, and let's all give ourselves a hug here. I thought we looked better without Bellerin. I thought we looked better without Xhaka. We had more mobility in the midfield. We were able to do more things. The second half, now I'm talking, the second half we started off great, very positive. We went and took the game to them. There's no doubt, you guys, that we're still not great. And there's no doubt that still not being able to win a game at home in 5 is appalling, right? It's not good. But at least we showed a little bit of grit and fight. And like BX Gunner says, it was a point. And it was a very, very important point. And the way we hung on at the end, and then we could have stolen it at the end with Rob Holding and that header. I was chatting with Amanda in our WhatsApp group, and she thought I was being a little harsh because I thought Rob Holding should have finished that. The keeper looked flat-footed, hit the crossbar. It seemed like he had a lot of space to direct that header. It was a great header. And I'm gonna be honest. I thought Rob Holding had a decent game. I think there were moments where he kind of saved us in that second half. Pramod, welcome back to the show. Yes, we drew to Southampton. Wonderful result. Trust the process. Good evening, Colorado Guna. And yes, I think we play better with 10 men sometimes, although it really was squeaky bum time, you know, in that second half. I mean, we literally clung on. Musa, good evening to you too. Duncan, onwards and upwards, Sophie. No time for jumping on the critical bandwagon. Plenty of effort in the second. If we put as much effort into future games, then things will improve. Little steps. And it's true, you know, you have to take this as a step forward, a positive step forward. Now, look, we are far from the Arsenal Football Club we know, but we also know we're not the same Arsenal Football Club. In fact, I think we should maybe check. Once we left Highbury, that team died, right? We all know that. That brand, club, call it what you want, it died. We should actually call ourselves Arsenal Emirates, not Arsenal FC, because they're two completely different teams. They're two completely different owned teams in the sense of how the club has run, what we've done in the transfer market. I mean, we all know this, right? But today there was a response, and I think that's the ticket to take from this, is that there was a response. We held on, we didn't lose, and gosh, it's still bad, but I'm taking a little bit of solace in this. And Tawana, I've kept your comment up because I'd like everyone in chat to get stuck in too on this. Are fans going to come for Gabriel for that red? Listen, I tweeted and I said, there is a lack of discipline in this team. I've told this to Casey and I've said it over and over again on our conversations in the Kevin Says segment too, that there is a lack of discipline. Now, that has to come from management too. Because I question if they're listening to him about the importance of having discipline in games. We have 7 red cards in the last 11 months since Mikel Arteta has taken over, right? I think we have something like 22 yellow cards. I mean, this is only Leicester City. They have 27. They have more than us. This is not good. And at some point, yes, you could call Gabriel dumb. You could call Xhaka dumb. You could call Pepe dumb. You can even call Elneny dumb because he was lucky to escape a red card at the weekend. But at the end of the day, how are you managing your players? What are you saying to them? And so I still think that we're seeing these moments in games, and we're seeing these moments, whether it's on social media, whether it's Willian going to Dubai, whether it's Ceballos and David Luiz fighting in training, you know, whether it's, you know, Aubameyang's manager making quips on social media about where, you know, he needs to play. There's something that Arteta has lost a little bit of control when it comes to the discipline of the team. If I go on a corporate retreat and I'm taking my team with me, they're responsible for their own behavior. Of course they are. But at the end of the day, I'm also culpable for their behavior. I'm the head of the department, right? I'm in charge of them, if you like. So if someone fucks up, you know, it's going to kind of fall on me at some point too. How am I managing them? What have I said to them before we go? Do they know the rules? Are they clear? And you've got to drill these things into people over and over and over again. And I wonder sometimes if folks have stopped listening to Arteta. And I thought that in the first half, which is why I was compelled to come on air and chat to you guys, because the difference I saw from all of this and the juxtaposition to what I'm saying is that at halftime, they did listen. They responded to him. They did come out and they were fighting. They did come out and show some hunger. They played more as a team and less as individuals. And so for me, as much as I've ragged on Arteta for the fact that I think his man management skills have been poor, you know, he's a young guy too. He's got an ego. There's a level of immaturity to Mikel Arteta. He's not as seasoned as some of the other managers in the Premier League. You know, he's not been there like a Jurgen Klopp. You know, he's not been there even like a Mourinho. You know, these managers have been in these moments. And especially with younger players, Arteta may have a less fuse in terms of accepting their behavior. And I think that has a lot to do with the ill discipline that we've seen. But the good news is, you know, I honestly felt that there was a moment where we were going to go on and maybe nick this 2-1. And then the red card came. And I mean, the problem is this was actually Gabriel's worst match so far he's had for since he's joined Arsenal. His positioning was off tonight. His energy was off. I mean, you know, he's new to the league. He's been really sensational. We're not going to complain about Gabriel, but that moment was just stupid. Why are you doing that there? Where's Theo Walcott going at that point? I believe he had a defender on the right and the left as well, and he just panicked. And I think that's what we have to do and work on much harder, you guys. And let me know if you agree with me. They panic, and there's no need to panic. And this is why I say, does Arteta have that calming control over them where they're able to go out on the pitch, where in tough moments, they can just take a deep breath, seize the moment and understand the enormity of, you know, what game they're in, the score, what they need to do as a group and as individuals. And right there, Gabriel lost his mind. And so I'm really curious. And if any of you see Arteta's presser come up, let me know what he's saying, because I'm expecting him to throw, you know, Gabriel under the bus the same way he did Pepe. And really, really, let's be honest, he let Xhaka get away with it a little bit, didn't he? But how better was that midfield without Xhaka? Right, let's get into some stuff. Thanks very much, PG. So far, so good. Everyone's being very, very nice. Mike agreed. Gabriel struggled tonight. He did. Duncan wants to give kudos to David Luiz. He's a car crash waiting to happen, but there's no doubt he's also a very impressive leader. I agree. I absolutely agree. I think that he came out now, as soon as he came on, though, gave the ball away right away. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it led to a free kick. And my heart sank because I'm like, oh, no, here we go. This is all we need. We need, you know, David Luiz coming on to have an absolute shit show when we're already in the middle of a shit show. We don't need more shit. You know what I'm saying? But he did. I think he brought an assurance. I think holding, much like when he played with Mertesacker holding, especially in that 2017 FA Cup, I think he adds another level of maturity when he's playing with a maturer player. And I think, you know, tonight holding bailed Gabriel out a few times. But I think when David Luiz came on, there was definitely more protection for him. So let's see. Dimitri, Sophie, as you know, I've been Arteta out. But if he stops playing Bellerin, Xhaka and Willian, then I feel we should give him time. I agree with this. This is what I've been screaming about for weeks. Amanda is finally on the train of, you know, questioning Arteta in terms of his team selection. But look at the difference tonight. There's nobody in chat right now can tell me that we weren't a little bit better tonight without Bellerin and Xhaka. I defy you, because I would be blown away and we would be looking at a completely different game if that's the case. And yes, you know, people see things, you can see things with different sets of eyes, but there's no doubt in my mind, Maitland-Niles brings an assurance defensively, has more protection. We've said it before that Pepe and Maitland-Niles together on that side, you know, play better together. And I said on the show yesterday that it's a blessing in disguise that Arteta is being forced into making these changes because of these suspensions. Now, did we want Gabriel to be suspended? No, he's going to miss three games now, and it's over the Christmas period, and we've got Everton coming up, and we've got a lot of important games that we absolutely need to win. So I think Arteta's biggest job on the training pitch tomorrow is going to be discipline. I mean, we cannot afford to do this again and lose more players. I don't mind losing a Xhaka or a Bellerin to suspension, and I'm sure you guys don't either. But losing Gabriel, there's no Thomas Partey, our two new signings now. But again, he's forced into having to make a change. If David Luiz will come in, that's an easy fix right there. I agree. I mean, you know, we've talked about Balogun, but Aubameyang got his goal today. Right, what do we think about this, you guys? Finally, Aubameyang gets his goal. And yeah, I agree, it's only one game. But Matty A, here's the scoop. When we've been so bad and so woeful, to come out of this game, okay, and to get a point and not lose five in a row at home, first time in our history something like that would happen to this club. And as we go on, our stats get worse. We start creating our worst stats, and we've done so under Mikel Arteta. There's no doubt about that. But to stop the rut and to get a goal from open play, and the manner in which we got that goal from open play, those are the small steps. You've got to look at a team that is completely broken and on its knees. Those are the positives you have to take. I'm not going to sit here and slam all the players tonight. I'm not going to sit here and ask for Arteta to be sacked. That's not, you know, who we are on this show. And even though I disagree with Arteta and I do not like his team selections tonight, I hope he's eating some humble pie. In fact, I should have baked him one myself. A nice, big, fat, humble pie with some, I don't know, whipped cream on top or some ice cream on the side. And piece by piece, as he eats that pie, he realizes that in order to get a tune out of this team, out of these players, he can't keep picking his favorites. He can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. He also cannot continue to be as negative as he has been. And today he was forced to make changes, and those changes worked. And you can see too that I have not been a fan of Ceballos lately, even though he was our best, one of our better players towards the end of Project Restart. When you see Ceballos play without Xhaka, everyone's better when they're not playing without Xhaka. And you guys know I've defended Xhaka to the hilt, but I can't do that anymore. He cost the team. He's too slow. He's become ill-disciplined. And so even you got to look at the other players around the players that have been picked, right? I thought Holding was better with Maitland-Niles. I thought Saka enhanced everyone around him. Let's talk about Saka for a minute, shall we? Jumping everywhere. And that's okay. We've got a few to get through. We do our player ratings in a minute. And I want to talk about Saka for a minute. Thank you, Sneddon. Press the likes for Sophie. I appreciate that very much. Let's talk about Saka. I want to hear what everyone has to say about Saka. I read a tweet where someone said, isn't it terrible that we are putting so much pressure on this young kid? And I'm like, no, this kid doesn't give a shit about pressure. This kid's a baller. All right. There were moments where he came in and out of the first half. I'll give you that. But his play leading up to the goal was absolutely sensational. I mean, he plays fearless football. He has this energy about him that absolutely sends electrical vibes, right, through the team. When he picks up the ball, Pires used to be like that, didn't he? He'd pick up the ball, Overmars, they'd pick up the ball, and you were so excited that he's a get off your seat kind of player. You don't know what he's going to do, but what you do know, he's going to do something with it and put his team in a position to be positive and do something and score. And I just don't agree with this whole attitude of why are we putting all this pressure on Saka? He soaks it up. Barcelona put all their pressure when they said to Ronaldinho, we're done with you. They were ready to put all their pressure on this kid called Messi. Now, I'm not saying Saka's Messi. I'm just giving you an example of, right, a young player who can take it. Wayne Rooney was the same, 16 years old. You guys remember that goal that he scored against us for Everton. Some players, they just don't care about stress and pressure. And Saka is one of those players. And I agree. I mean, look, you know, I'm not saying he's going to go off and be an Mbappe, but he is so talented. And I don't think we should continue this rhetoric of putting pressure on Saka. The real captain, a local kid from your area, you're very lucky. Saka wants to succeed. He wants to make it. And it's true. He's willing to take on things on his weak foot too. He's completely, completely fearless. And yes, Daniel, I'm good. How are you? I hope everyone out there in chat is really good and having a great night. Thank you so much for joining me. Quite a few of you in the chat room. If you feel inclined and you're enjoying the show, hit the like button. If not, that's okay. This is a football democracy. You are entitled to your opinion, and I would love to hear your opinions. And as you know, this is the show that wants to make sure that you have your voice heard. Philip, Saka is a worldie. I agree. Balogun could be the same. Ray, man of the match, completely. Let's see what Barry says. Would like to see midfield three of Elneny with Maitland-Niles. I think Emile Smith-Rowe's got a ways to go to break into this first team, but he is getting close. Steve gives Saka a 9 out of 10. We're going to do our ratings right here at the end. DWTT, man of the match, Saka. I mean, I actually think this kid could be captain, to be honest with you, that he's got that much confidence about him that you don't have to worry about him taking on the burden. He's the future. He is the future. And it was his energy that got Aubameyang that goal. And wow, he hasn't scored in so long. Well, since the own goal, of course, at the weekend. But it was good for Aubameyang to score. Hopefully that will be the kickstart that he needed to get himself rolling. And again, you know, no Lacazette, no Xhaka, no Bellerin. We've seen a new energy in the team. We've seen players kind of, I think, react to something. I'm not sure what it is, you guys, and I'm not getting carried away. We are, but we're not the finished article. We've got a long way to go. We're still in trouble. And it was another stupid red card that cost us potentially 3 points. But I actually think in this game against a much better Southampton team than Burnley, that I felt we could have won this more than the Burnley game. There was something about that second half where Southampton were tiring. We kept pressing and pushing, but then the red card happened and that was that. Yes, I completely agree. And I wanted to bring this up and I was going to bring Eddie up when we were doing the ratings. Holyfield, I agree. I don't think he's ready. I just don't see it with him. I think he has moments. Right now, I think he's a EFL Cup and an FA Cup player, Europa League. But in terms of starting in the Premier League, I think there's still something about him where I'm not saying he's not smart enough or he's not as smart as Saka as a footballer, but he's definitely lacking something. And I think that will come. He's a younger player that you feel is a little bit more inexperienced. And it's so weird, isn't it? Sometimes one young player can be really just, you think he's 30 years mature, could be captain of a football club. And then you have another younger player who really needs time to adapt, take on that role, and probably feels a little bit intimidating, to be honest with you, playing with certain players. He did, Winston. I know he did. I mean, it was a tap, wasn't it, really? But he still made the pass that led to Aubameyang. But it was Saka that did all the work in that build-up. I think we'll all agree, right? Awad Mustafa, oh, my God, thank you about Eddie. It's been driving me nuts, I think you mean. If we get a serious offer for Eddie, I would sell him. Robin, listen, would I be sad? No, I don't think so. I think we've got a lot of talented young players at the club that I would keep over someone like him. I think he would benefit from going out on loan again. I do. I think that he does run a lot, Philip, and I like that too. But like you, I agree. He doesn't convince me that he can score against the best defenders. His movement is poor and he doesn't hold up play well. I don't think he can hold up. I don't think he's that kind of player. You know, he's that burst pace player, isn't he, that needs to run off. And for me, holding up, no, I completely agree with you there. Let's ask everyone, LG92, what does everyone see in Maitland-Niles? He's so overrated. Do you guys agree or disagree with LG92? Listen, I used to feel that way, but he won me over last season. I think he came into the team. He added a stability. He brings this cool and calmness about him. Again, another player who doesn't play with stress. He doesn't play with pressure. He just wants to play football. And you know what the thing is, LG, with Maitland-Niles? Every team needs a Maitland-Niles. Every single team needs a hybrid player who can play in a variety of positions. And Maitland-Niles is definitely one of those players. He can play right back. He can play on the left. His natural position is midfield. I mean, to me, he seems like somebody who's very important to this team, especially as we go into these moments where the pressure's going to be on, the fixtures are coming thick and fast, as they say, and, you know, it's going to be important for us. I think he's going to become really important as the weeks go on. I think Maitland-Niles is going to play a lot more than many of us thought and we were mad at Arteta for not picking him. I think we're going to see him get a little bit of run in the team now. Nugent disagrees about the Maitland-Niles comment from our previous post. He is ice cold. We got Clock Orange. He should play in the midfield and Cedric should be given a chance at right back. That is exactly, Clock Orange, the formation that I wanted today. I wanted to see Cedric on the right and Maitland-Niles in midfield instead of Elneny. Elneny, to me, as good as he is on the ball, and he's kind of, I think Arteta wants him to be that Fernandinho type, doesn't he? To me, he feels still that he slows it up too much. Even though, you know, that's what makes Manchester City great with Fernandinho in this role, there's still this quickness, you know, release the ball, take the ball, pass the ball. It's that Pep Guardiola, you know, philosophy that made Barcelona so great. And for me, Elneny, I just still not sold on him. And again, he was lucky to escape a red card. And I thought he was really poor, especially in the first half. And yeah, his versatility, completely agree with you. And he is better than Bellerin, I think so right now. Would I have said that a couple of years ago? Probably not. Lee Boy also says Maitland-Niles is solid and versatile player, is better than Hector right now. 100% agree. And Bellerin would head straight back as he's Arteta's favourite. But will he? Because Arteta knows he's got to win. He's got to get results. And even though we didn't win today, we got a decent result at home, where if we'd have lost again, the sky would have fallen tonight. And I'm not saying it's not falling still, because we are still a shadow of the team that we've been. And we are far away from the team that we want to be again. But, you know, I'm not sure that Xhaka and Bellerin will jump right back into the side. Matthew says, Maitland-Niles is an athlete and we're missing those. Not sure he's a starter long term. You know, we're going to see about that. Elneny slowed it down. Yeah, Mike, exactly what I was just saying. And Edwin, I agree with you. I want to see Maitland-Niles play against Everton too. Did Everton ended up winning tonight, right? I'm kind of glad that they did, because it might mean they're due a loss this weekend. And well, unless another ex-Arsenal player decides to score against us as well with Iwobi. We had Theo tonight, and Iwobi could be one that scores against us. But let's be honest, the likelihood of Iwobi scoring is unlikely, and I probably just absolutely bocked that completely. Well, he's not the best passer. He needs to improve in that area, yes, Maitland-Niles. But I think that Bellerin can't cross a ball. He couldn't find a cross with a map and a compass. The amount of times he wastes the ball. Has he produced great goals from, you know, passes in the past? Yes. But more often than not, if you look at Bellerin, he gives the ball away a lot. So, all right. Here we are. It's Arsenal 1, Southampton 1. You're listening to the Highbury Squad post-game show here with myself, Sophie. The show is sponsored by Playing the Game. Create branded entertainment content your way. Go to ptg.co.uk and check those guys out. You can also discover more great content on our YouTube channel. We've done some really cool shows during the lockdown series. And as you know, we've been bringing a little bit diverse content to you over the last few weeks. Our top five transfer show from last week, you guys will enjoy that. We also had a fun show where we compared Arsenal players to movie characters. Get ready for my next one on that, by the way, you guys. We're going to be looking at comparing Arsenal players to songs, and I'm sure you guys will love that. All right, I have a DM here from George in London. Why is no one talking about the owners and the way the club is run? We need to get this balled out. Well, George, I think people are talking about the Kroenkes, aren't they? I think they are talking about how poorly the club is run. The one misnomer, I think, that with the Kroenkes is that they haven't spent any money. I think that's the biggest baloney of all, because they have. And if you look at the money that we've spent, look, it's not Liverpool money and Man United money and Chelsea money. And it's just not. And unfortunately, we've got ourselves in a position where we can't compete like that. But we know that, you know, Kroenke has deep pockets. He's a multi-billionaire, but he also runs a gazillion other franchises, and he's got to spread the wealth. And he's just built one of the biggest stadiums in the world, which is state of the art. It's ridiculous. It makes Spurs new stadium look like it was built 10 years ago. I mean, this thing looks like something out of Star Trek. It's unbelievable. And so he has to put, you know, his money elsewhere too. They're happy. Arsenal's a cash cow for them. Arsenal has been a cash cow for them for years now. It's a business. We heard him say it. He said it himself. And so, you know, I think that what George is saying is I think he wants fans to make a bigger noise than we have done. A little bit like Liverpool fans did when they took their owners to task before John Henry came in. And, you know, Manchester United fans have done the same with their ownership, making a bigger noise. When we pay the highest prices for tickets, okay, fans can't go to the – look how much they're reeling right now financially. We pay the highest tickets to go to matches, and yet we're performing the way we are. You know, we're a great club at marketing. We all love the Adidas video. Very cool. But when it comes to running sponsorships and third-party collaborations, the commercial side of things, I don't think we're as great as some of the other teams at doing that. And that's the kind of money that also can come back into the club too. And unfortunately, we don't have the rich owner like Roman Abramovich who's going to spend his own money investing in players. And look, I mean, we spent 72 million on Pepe. You can't say they don't spend money. We just spent the money on the wrong bloody player, to be quite honest with you. I mean, can we talk about Pepe for a minute, you guys? I'm going to take a deep breath. Here we go. I'm going to have a little sip of my espresso here. Pepe, I'm sorry. I don't get it. I've really tried my best to understand what it is that people see and believe in this player. I think he has moments where he's good. I think his stats look better than he does as a player on the pitch. If you look at last year when he was playing with Lacazette and Aubameyang. But when you look at the money, and you took the words out of my mouth, Errol, we could have bought two or three players with that money. And we could have bought players, if you look at players at Wolves, Brighton, Southampton. I mean, Pepe has to be the worst bit of business I think we've done in years. And I just don't see him getting better. I really don't. I can't see it. I don't think he's happy in London. I don't think he's... thank you very much. And yes, I will take a deep breath. I don't think... He doesn't look happy. He's not a player that plays happy football. You know, you see the smile's gone, you know, and I don't know if he believes in Arteta. And yeah, Lee Boy, he is a big letdown. And yeah, Winston, I think he's a fraud. Thursday, Pepe's great. Yeah. On Thursdays, when he's playing against more average players, he shines. But when he's in the Premier League, you buy a player for 72 plus. You expect results by now in the Premier League. You expect him to be the kind of player to put the team on his shoulders as well. He's 25 years old now, you guys. He's not a kid. Look what Saka's doing. Look how Saka's playing. And Pepe, homegrown player, right? And Pepe, I don't think we could sell for 20 million right now. Do you guys think that we could sell Pepe for anything less than 20 million? I don't think so. I just want to catch one of these comments here. Mike, going back to George's comment about the Cronkies. It's the way we are spending the money. Gone through how many changes at the top and no clear direction. Different coaches want different players for different styles. Completely agree with you. I mean, look what we've seen with what Arteta thinks of some of Unai Emery's buys. But I also think, you know, sidelining Guendouzi and Saliba the way he has and just completely ostracizing two young players like that. All right, Guendouzi's a bit of a dick. And I know that he was probably rude to Arteta and there's something in him he doesn't see. But when you see Arteta behaving that way with several players and then enabling and helping others and standing by others, you do start to question a little bit. And yes, he's going to want to bring in his own players, and he should. He should be given that chance, at least another transfer window, I think, to build his own team. And I've said this before many times on this show, that successful managers, the best managers, build teams in their image. Pep Guardiola, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Manchester City, Antonio Conte, Juventus and Chelsea, Jurgen Klopp, Borussia Dortmund and Liverpool. You know, managers like that, the fire in the belly, the team takes on their personality, their characteristics. You know, even Mourinho, irks me to say it, has done that with his teams. Granted, he blows them up towards the end, but really great managers, really good managers who build good teams, build those teams in their image. And right now, I think we're questioning whether Arteta's got the strong enough character to do that, right? We're not sold, not all of us, because we can see there's a couple of yellow flags. There's red, one or two, but they're mostly yellow at this point. And if you can win an FA Cup and you can drive this team and you can make them believe that they can win a trophy, now we expect to see him transition the team and elevate the performances and elevate our position in the Premier League and just make us better. And it's going to take baby steps, but at the same time, we don't have time this season. He's got to get it going and he's got to get it going pretty quick. And I don't think that we're going to have the kind of money that some fans expect us to bring in reinforcements in January. And now look, we've lost Gabriel for the Christmas break. I mean, it's ridiculous. I hope that he didn't do it because he wanted time off. There were players that did that in the past. I can't remember which player actually admitted that in a book after they finished playing. Maybe someone can help me in chat. It's escaping me now. You're dead right, Sophie. Well, thank you, Daniel. I'm glad you agree with me. Pramod. this is my one guy who does not trust the process at all. What is the image? It's a good question. Arteta's image is, I think he wants to play a 4-3-3 long term. I think his image is going to be a little bit, I don't think it's a Pep image. Right now, it's very bad version of George Graham in a lot of regards, in that it's the opposite, but I can only compare it to when everyone thought we played boring football, and really we played really good football and controlled games. And the way he wants to control games, he's very pragmatic and he plays very negative football. But I think he's also doing that right now because of the talent pool that we have. Doesn't trust these players to execute. And at the same time, I think some of them don't trust him either. And therein lies where the rubber meets the road, you know. And that's just the way it is. A new manager comes in, some players gravitate to him, some don't. And that's just the reality of our world. Are you trying to say that's a Spanish-French thing? I'm not sure about that. Arteta's more like a bank manager. You know what, Newman? His press conferences are really starting to annoy me. He sounds like, you know, I mean, he's just robotic. Sometimes I feel like he's a character from a sci-fi movie. You know, he's come down to earth and he tries to freaking hypnotize you and mesmerize you. It's like those deep eyes, but he's just so monotonous now. And maybe because we're not winning and he's kind of bugged me because he's stuck with Willian and Xhaka and Bellerin and some of these other players. And so I'm seeing him in a little bit of a different way. But some people think he's charismatic. I don't. Spurs equalized. What's the score, you guys? Let's do our player ratings real quick, and then we can go back to watching some football. Yeah, he is. I think he's arrogant. You know what he is, Clock Orange? He's a teddy bear with a shotgun. He's got this very sneaky salesman esque vibe about him. And, you know, I think he can give you that impression that he's your best friend, and, you know, that he lures you in again, maybe with those eyes. But boy, whew, when that shotgun goes off, holy cow. I mean, he could stab you in the back and you'll be out of there. And I say stab you in the back, that's not fair. But if he's done with you, he's done with you. And I think for me, you know, I think Messi, I said that about Messi once. He's a teddy bear with a shotgun. No one's that squeaky clean. No one gets to the top like that and is nice to everyone along the way or complies and does what they have to do. And look, guys, here's the thing with Arteta, right? Before we bounce out with our play ratings and I want everyone's. Yes, you did, Dimitri. Yes, I think he has a little bit of that. He's a little bit weak sauce in the sense that I think comes from immaturity. There's an immaturity about how he manages, like I said at the top of the show, has that arrogance with younger players because he's still young too. So if you're two dudes, you know, it's like when he said in his press conference, here's my chest. And I'm like, fine, I'll punch it. I mean, what does that mean? What did he say exactly? My chest is out. That to me sounds like the guy at the bar that when his mate's getting in trouble, he says, I've got your back. I've got your back. And then goes off to the toilet. What? Where'd he go? What happened? There's something about him that I can't trust just yet. And, you know, in time, maybe that will change when we get better results. But the truth is he did inherit a mess. And so did Emery. And like we said on our Mosquitoes, Myths and Moths show, this is years in the making, you guys. This isn't new. This isn't new. And I think that he acts arrogantly because he's been given the keys to the kingdom. And I think he's very confident that he has the keys to the kingdom for quite some time. It was come at me. All right, let's go at him. Yeah, let's go at him. He's opened the door now. It's fair game. You know, you're the manager. At the end of the day, the buck stops with you. The players might be shy, but you have to do something to inspire them, to get them going, to get them rolling, to show us that you can improve them with your coaching. And I think that's what Arsenal fans have issue with. And only in tonight's game, in the second half, did we see improvements. We saw something a little bit different. And yeah, that's... we're going to have to see what happens against Everton. Another big test. You know, Southampton, we're in the top four. Everton, two great results on the bounce after losing a few games. Ancelotti's got them singing a tune again. So this is another tough game. And they come in really thick and fast during this period, especially. Ah, we need Liverpool to win tonight. Gosh, we do. It's 1-1, hey? Interesting. Okay, here we go. Let's get out on our ratings. Leno, did you guys think Leno had much to do tonight? Do you think, hey, Steve, how you doing? I like that. Sophie, you're not listening to me. How can you say that? It's once they cross the white line, it's the players. Sophie. That's Casey. All right, Leno, let's go. 6-4, 6-5-4. And then let's see here. Tawana gave Leno a 5. Oh, gosh, look at that. Excellent display right there from Tawana. Very neat. I like that. He really didn't have a lot to do. I mean, positionally, I still have an issue with him. I really do. And again, his distribution tonight was a little bit better, a little bit quicker, but okay, let's give him a 5. Wow. Look at me. I get a perfect 10 from my girl. I love that. That's absolutely brilliant. We love that. George, a 5 for Leno, a 6 from Daniel, a 5 from Yao, and a 5 from Dimitri. All right. Maitland-Niles. What do we give Maitland-Niles? I'm going to give Maitland-Niles a 6.5. Coming into the game, he had something to prove. He was lucky to come into the game because of a suspension. I think he did decent. I think he had a better moments where he loses the ball and is irresponsible. We have a few players, you guys, that hang on to the ball just a little bit too long, don't we? Pepe is one. I think Maitland-Niles is another. As good as Ceballos is on the ball and he retains the ball well in high-pressure situations when we need it, and just when you think he's going to lose the ball, he actually makes a really good pass. There's some moments where Ceballos, and was it Ceballos and Elneny that clashed in the center before the break happened where they put Walcott through for the first goal? I think it was him. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Was waiting for Casey to call Matt Holland Sophie tonight. That's funny. I like that very much. Was he saying Matt? A six from Clock Orange for Maitland-Niles. Newman, where did you go, Newman? I think, Newman, you gave him a five. And let's see, what else do we have here? Let's move on to Holding. You guys, I think Rob Holding did decent tonight. Hold on, Just Average. You're being too kind to Gabriel. Should be Max a two. Oh, no, we haven't done him yet. That was just someone doing his whole thing. So, you know, Just Average, I'm going to give him a two because you just can't get sent off, right? You can't get two yellow cards like that and be that ill-disciplined in such a short space of time. It's just crazy. And I know he's going to be mad at himself. Gabriel's just been so great for us since he's arrived. We're not going to kill Gabriel tonight, but we are going to call him out for being absolutely stupid and costing us a potential 3 points. If everyone's going to say Xhaka cost us 3 points against Burnley, which, by the way, I couldn't see us getting anything out of that game. This game tonight against the much better team, I could. So for me, Gabriel gets a two. Let's go back to Holding real quick because everyone was giving their Holdings, right? So five for Holding from Pramod, five from Harsha. Let's see. We got a four here. Winston gives Holding a six. We've got a six here, a seven. Yeah, I think he did good. You know, I think sometimes he gets a really raw, a seven here. And, you know, I think that sometimes we give him a hard time, but little Holdinho sometimes pulls it off. And I thought he was strong tonight. I thought he did a decent job under intense pressure. And at times, as I said, you know, stepped up. And then when David Luiz came in, he seemed like even more assured. So, yeah, we're going to give him a six, says our good friend Robin. Rusty, a four. All right, let's move on to Gabriel. I think we all agree is a two. Tierney. What's happened to old Tierney, eh? I don't see what some people see in the last few games. Listen, he's definitely one of the best of the bunch, yeah? How can I say this? He's really good, but he's looking worse because he's playing in a really bad team, if that's fair. And so Tierney, for me, gets a seven tonight. Again, I think he does a decent job. I think his final ball hasn't been great. I love that over-the-top ball that he played against Liverpool and a lot in the FA Cup where we opened up a little bit and just played, had a plan B. There were times where he'd passed to Aubameyang and he just, I like to see him in those moments and play that way. So Tierney 6, Tierney 6, Tierney 6. Tierney, the only one who's consistent. Seven's too high. You think I'm being too generous? What's yours then, Harsha? Harsha, what do you think Tierney's rating is tonight? Musa says eight, four. Problems are affecting him. I agree, Paul. I think that he's the kind of player that gets frustrated because he expects a lot of himself, but he expects a lot of his teammates, and he asks a lot of his teammates too. And he's suffered. You know, I think his form has suffered and he's a good player right now who looks worse in a bad team. 5.5, a five then. Okay. Tierney, well said, Sophie, had some fault in the first goal. He did too. Let's be honest. He did. Weird game for him. It's been weird for him the last couple games, I think, for young Tierney. All right, I'm sorry if I've missed some of yours, but let's see. George, a six. Yeah, the others make him look. Listen, just as you can look great and other players can make you look great, players can make you look bad too. You know that from working, you know, in a team. If there's one person even that doesn't perform, you all look bad. And so I think Tierney's suffering from that. All right, let's wrap these ones up really quickly. Elneny. I just don't see it. I don't want him in the team. You know when Amanda says sometimes, I don't want to see Xhaka play in an Arsenal shirt ever again. Well, you know, I'm kind of starting to feel the same way about Elneny. I think he brings value, but I wouldn't start him. But until we have a player that can truly fill that hole and do that job, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of him. So for me, Elneny gets a four. A three for Elneny, a four for Elneny, a four from Daniel, a five. A one, a five. I think I missed one here. Let's see. Five. Matt, it's the players. Did he just say it? Oh, come on. You got to send me the video. I love it. That'll be fantastic. He is better than Xhaka. This is true. I can't argue with that. He is right now. But today he was poor. I just didn't see it. Right. Let's just whiz through these El Nenis. And while I'm getting your El Nenis up, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me in the chat. We're going to wrap this up real quick. Ceballos, I'm going to give, if I gave Tierney a 7, which I do now on reflection think that was a little bit generous, then I'm going to give Ceballos a 7.5. I think that sometimes I think he plays too cocky. There's something, maybe it's because he's like a kamikaze, starts fights with his teammates. So it kind of turns me off a little bit sometimes with Ceballos. And he's got this super, he spins more than a record sometimes. I mean, but today I think that he played quite well. And I will give him a 7.5. We've got a 6. We've got an 8. We got a 6, a 7, a 6, another 7. Not the same Ceballos. Yeah. And Steve, don't we all miss Partey? Yeah, that dive in the box. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I agree with Paul. Hit the likes. That would be lovely. Thank you very much. All right. We got another 6, another 6, and a 7. All right, we are going to move to Saka. Man of the match for me. Let's just leave it at that. All right, everyone. Yeah, the dive in the box is just crazy. We'll go to, how do you guys think Aubameyang did today? What's your rating? Because I think we all agree and we've come to the conclusion that Saka was man of the match. What do you think of Oba today? A little bit more energy, played with a little bit more intent, got stuck in a little bit more, was much more effective playing off Saka. I don't think he likes playing with Willian. I think he's got more energy and he's more into the game and he feels more connected than when Willian doesn't play. And I think he likes playing with Pepe, even though Pepe wasn't great today. Loves playing with Saka. And I think they bounced off really well together. Oba did look hungry. 5+1 for the goal. 6, an 8, a 7.5. Rusty is giving, I lost that one, Rusty, but you gave Saka an 8. I think we're getting a 7 here for Oba from Lee Boy, 7.5. Hold on. Are you giving him a 0? Nah. Maybe that was for, is that for Gabriel? Maybe. Saka 8, man of the match. Oba 6. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. I think he did much better today. Eddie, for me, gets a 2. I'm just going to leave it at that. I wouldn't even bother if I were you guys. And Pepe, for me, gets, I don't know. What do you guys think Pepe deserves? 5? Is that too generous? At least he had a shot on goal. I mean, he hit it right at the keeper, but at least he had a shot on goal. I just didn't see anything else that he did that was as effective. I wanted him to be more effective. Do I think he played better than Willian? 100%. For that, he gets a 5.5. I just upped it by half a point. Why not? Willian wasn't playing. That's all that matters. Boom. Okay, we've got a 4, a 5, a 6, and a 5. And let's see. Sophie, Arteta has been benched. Oh, so Arteta's been benched by Arteta. He was playing well towards... Arteta benched himself? I'm confused. I think you mean Pepe, right? And yeah, I agree. At some point you've got to overcome it. Come on, get over yourself. Just get stuck in. You're the most expensive signing in Arsenal Football Club's history. Come on. Don't give me he's young. He's 25 years old. Get on with it. And yes, 6 times better. So that means 6 fives. Maybe we give him a 35. God, I hope my math was right there. Otherwise, I'll be hugely embarrassed. Okay, and what about Arteta? I'm not going to do the subs. Let's just all give them 5, the subs. I mean, come on. The game changed when the sending off went off. And what about Arteta? Let's give Arteta a quick rating before we say goodnight. Because he was forced into the changes, I can't give him too much of an upgrade. But what I will do, and this is something that I think is very important. Do you remember under Emery, we were known as second half Arsenal? Say what you want. There was something about halftime, whatever it was he did, even though he could not communicate, apparently. He used to communicate because we'd come out in the second half and be a much better team. What I like to see is teams come out with a different attitude, a different energy, and just a completely different engagement in the game. And I will say that I think for the fact that we came out playing better in the second half and we gave it more of a go, I give Arteta a 5. Oof. 3, 6, 3, 5, 4. The tactics, yeah. I mean, he's way too pragmatic. But again, it's because he doesn't trust these players. And as I said, I just don't think some of them trust him either. 5, 4, 5. It's not 30. 6, 5. Oh, 5, 5's are 25. 6, 5's are 30. I was thinking 7. See, this is why I'm a creative person. This is why I failed at maths. Well, actually, I was really good at maths. I was in Mr. Waller's maths group at school, which was very like the tippy top. But then I went to secondary school. And you know what happens at secondary school? Numbers become, you know, not as important as playing football and trying to get into the boys' team. I mean, this is where my priorities went. All right. Arteta 5, Arteta 4. And Brian, how about all the Brians today? Let's just say that we had more LEAs. What name can we pick today than we did Brians? At least they weren't too Brian today. They showed us a little bit of something. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is that. Unless you guys want to say anything else, forever hold your peace. Well, hold your peace until tomorrow, because we will be returning tomorrow. And we have, and we also have a new Evergreen episode coming up for you in a few days too. Someone in the Arsenal community who we love and adore, Akhil VS, who's a really cool guy, does some amazing stuff in the community, doing some great stuff, has been, he's part of the AST as well. We'll get his insights and hear his story from how he became an Arsenal fan. And we're looking forward to that. We're back with Kevin tomorrow night for Kevin Says. So look forward to that. We're going to be joined by our good friend Josh from A Burkamp Wonderland. But tomorrow night's show is your show, remember. You get to ask Kevin anything you want after you hear his wee segment at the very beginning. And if you guys want to hop in on the show, just send me a DM, send us a little Twitter, or send us an email, thehighburysquad@gmail.com, and we'll get you into the feed and you can have your say if you want to be on the stream with us. All right. I really, really appreciate you guys for joining me and sticking with me. Thanks so much for the energy in the chat room. Just like Arsenal in the second half, you guys bought it today. Now, look, let's I have a little bit of a nose run and I don't have my hanky handy. Let's get something straight here, guys. This was by no means a great performance. OK, it just wasn't. But we didn't lose and we didn't lose at home. And we were down to 10 men and we held on and got a point. 1 point leads to another and maybe 3. And maybe a confident run during December, which is going to be a very tough rest of the month for us, especially as we go into the new year as well. So at least we got a point. All right. And that's the most important thing. We can still criticize. We're not happy. We don't like the way we play. We're boring. We're pragmatic. We're negative. Arteta still has a lot to learn. But at least the players who've been criticized, especially by my good friend, Mr. Super Kevin Campbell, at least they showed a little teeny tiny bit of something today. Bit of character, maybe. Little bit of character. Ghana Guna, good to see you too. Thanks to everyone. Philip, thank you very much. And Daniel, cheers. See you again soon. Come back tomorrow night, Daniel. Really appreciate it. Brilliant. Always feel better after the pod. Always Arsenal. I have to have one of you say that for me. I'm going to have to say that. Thank you for joining me. And I appreciate all of the great comments. And if you do feel so inclined, hit that like button. And Dimitri, Sophie, you're the high-end boutique Arsenal show. Ah, that has just warmed the cockles of my heart. Thank you very much to all of you, Newman as well. Come back with me tomorrow night and we will definitely give KC some hell. And until then, always Arsenal.